Okay, it's an amazing schus to be back together during these very, very precious, special days to grow and to learn Torah and to be chazak each other. First of all, I want to always thank the Shriers for opening up their bias. And special mazel tov again to Sarit, who's here with us, but special akar satov to Eliza, who's taken over for ensuring that all the everything that needs to be done for this year is taken care of, and she is chus for her and for the beautiful Shari Mishpacha. But also the shir tonight is Le'ile Nishmas, Sarit and Eliza's grandmother, Rebbetzin Toby Shrier, Toiba Bas Reb Shapsi, whose yahrzeit is Erev Rosh Hashanah. So Mirat Hashem, her neshama should have a big aliyah through all the Torah that we're going to be learning, all the chizik that we get, all the beautiful ma'asim that her mishpacha does, and Mirat Hashem, she should be a melei to Yosha for the entire mishpacha, to a zoicha to be reunited with Tchias HaMeisim Bekarav Mamish. If we think about the avodah of these days, there's no question that if you look about what we're look into what we're supposed to be doing, the ikra avoida is tefillah. The ikra avoida is tefillah. On Rosh Hashanah, we're in shul all day davening. What did we add to our day during these days leading up to Rosh Hashanah? Slichos, which are tefillos. Even the shofar itself, which is the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. The shofar itself is a form of tefillah. What's the biggest proof that the shofar is a form of tefillah? We're going to blow shofar literally in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Those of us in the room that daven Nesuch Sfarad in the middle of even silent Shemoneh Esrei. And even if we daven Nesuch Ashkenaz in the middle of Chazar Sashat, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, we're not allowed to stop in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei for anything. To have a hefzik, to be doing something else. But shofar itself is a form of tefillah. So all we're doing during these days is davening. And davening to Hashem clearly for a year of simcha, a year of bracha, a year of geula, a year of Yeshua, that we all need and are looking for in our personal lives, and in the klal, in the lives of all of Klal Yisrael. But we have to learn how to daven. And we have to know what to daven for. And sometimes, each and every one of us, let's be real, we struggle in our davening. It's not always so easy to get up and to daven with proper kavana. When there's something clear that we're davening for, when lo aleinu, someone we're close to is sick, so then we get and we're inspired to daven with esoiris, with emotions, with feelings. And yeah, it's true, on Rosh Hashanah itself, it's a little bit easier and a little bit more conducive. But what should our tefillos really be? What should our focus really be? And how can we prepare to daven properly this Rosh Hashanah? So I was thinking about a story. It's a story, it's a famous story. Maybe a lot of you have heard it before. I probably have read it or said it over at some point. I'm going to read it from this book. I love how the stories are written in this book. It's Lamed Vav. It's a book, all of stories that Reb Shlomo Karbach used to tell over. And it's written in the way that he used to tell it over. It's written in his voice. And he was of the greatest storytellers that ever graced this earth. A man once came to the holy Reb Yitzchok Vorker and cried, "Rebbe, I'm mamish desperate. My child is so sick. He may even, God forbid, be dying. Rebbe, I'm begging you, please pray for my son to get well." The Vorker sat very still. He closed his holy eyes and rocked back and forth for a while. Then he looked at the Yidola and said sadly, "I'm so sorry to tell you, but all the gates of heaven are closed so tightly. There's nothing I can do to open them. You might as well go home." The father buried his head in his hands and began to sob. But what could he do? He climbed back onto his wagon and started on his way home, crying the whole time. He'd been traveling for about a half an hour when suddenly he heard the sound of another wagon chasing after him. He turned around, it was a holy Vorker himself. The Rebbe pulled up beside Zidola. "Stop your wagon here," he said. "I have something to say to you." They reined in their horses. The Vorker helped the father down from his wagon. And they sat together in the grass by the side of the road. "After you left," Rabbi Yitzchok went on, "I couldn't stop thinking about you and your son. You seem so sad. And mamish broke my heart. Then I realized, I may not be able to help your boy, but at least I can cry with you." And the Vorker put his arm around the Yidl, bowed his holy head, and began to sob from the deepest depth of his heart. To his surprise, the father realized that the Rebbe was crying harder for his son than he himself had ever cried for anything in his whole life. So he started sobbing even more. The two men sat crying together for a long time. Suddenly the Rebbe lifted his head, wiped away his tears and smiled. Then he laughed out loud. "Do you by any chance have some wine in your wagon?" he asked the astonished father. "Yes, I do." "Then bring it fast," the Vorker said in a hearty voice. "We need to say Elachayim." The Yidl had no idea what was going on, but he hurried to bring the wine in the two glasses. The Vorker poured out for both of them. "L'chaim, my friend, l'chaim." And the bewildered father echoed, "L'chaim." "I know you must think I'm crazy," the Rebbe went on, "crying one minute, laughing the next. But it happened so quickly. I just had to celebrate. It's mamish a miracle. A minute ago, thanks to our tears, the gate suddenly opened. Your son will live. L'chaim to life." So I was thinking about this. And I was thinking about each and every one of us. You know, in each and every one of us, during these days, we stop and we think about our lives. And we do a cheshbon nefesh. We do a little introspection, because there's no one who doesn't do some introspection during these days. How can we not, as we lead into and we prepare for Rosh Hashanah, we prepare for that day when we're going to be judged, and Hashem's going to decide what our upcoming year is, how can we not think about ourselves and think about our year and think about who I've been and who I am? And some of us, and I'm talking for myself right now, and we look into our insides and we say there's so much more we could have been this past year. And there's so much more I could have done. And there's so many areas that I need fixing. And sometimes we think, well, I'm mamish even a lost cause. What am I going to do walking into this Rosh Hashanah? What am I going to do walking into this Zeresh Mei Tshuva? I know I can be and should be so much more than I am. I know I can be and should have been so much more this whole past year. I could have davened so much more. I could have done so many more acts of chesed. I could have worked on myself, worked on my midos, worked on my tznias, worked on the way that I speak to each other. And I feel lost. I feel like there's no answer. So what can we do? What can we do? So whatever's lost within us, it's only within our guf. It's only within our body. Our neshama is pure as could be. Our soul is kodesh kedoshim. Our soul, as the Baal Tanya says, is chelek elokam imal mamash. Is it literally a part of God? It's a small piece of Hashem inside each and every one of us, and that's pure and kadosh. Whatever it's covered over by, within the guf, could be, but our neshama is pure. So I think what we have to do during these days, each and every one of us, is for these last few days, and on Rosh Hashanah itself, and Aser Shem Etshuv, and Yom Kippur, and if the Avodah surely is supposed to be Tevilah. So maybe our neshama, which is so kadosh, and our guf in a certain sense, at this point our guf is coming to our neshama and say, "Help me, do something for me." And our neshama, we look in the guf, there's so much to do and we don't even know where to turn. At the very least, our neshama could cry for our guf. At the very least, that we can still do at this point. I might not be able to prove to HaKadosh Baruch Hu I'm different and improve greatly in these last few moments of the year. But I could cry with the guf. And what are our tears of the neshama? Our tears of the neshama is tefillah. Tefillah is the outcry of our neshama. Tefillah are our tears that says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "I feel the pain of what I've done over the year. And I don't know what else to do but to cry. I don't know what else to do but to daven. That's all I could do at this point. But that at least I'm going to do. And if it worked for the Vorker, it worked for Yitzchak Vorker and brought Gula, so clearly it could bring Gula to us. But again, we have to learn how to daven. How does one daven? What's the proper way to daven? We have to prepare to daven. We can't just walk into davening. You know, the Gemara in Brachos that, hey, there's a Mishnah. Sorry, in the first Mishnah, the fifth parak of Brachos. Says Chasidim Harishonim Hayushoim Shah Achas Mispalim Kidei Shechavnu As Libam Lamakom. That before they would daven, they would prepare an hour to daven. Again, most of us, that's a lot of time. Halavai, we should have an hour to daven during the day. Prepare an hour to daven. But it tells us we need preparations, we need achana, we need to know what to do, how to daven. What should our mindset be going into our davening, into our tefillos? So I saw a tremendous Torah, something I saw in the Sefer from Shmuel Brazil. He says, in Chumash, one of the people we learn who to daven from, as we all know, is Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu davened and davened and davened and davened, and he was answered no, actually. But he didn't stop davening. He davened 515 davenings. V'eschanan is gematria 15, which is gematria tefila, which is gematria shira, because the deepest tefila is when we're singing to Hashem, which is emotional davening. When we sing, we're emotional. My son went to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. He went, he left Tuesday night. He's there for a day already, whatever it is. So he left me a message. He says, he hasn't stopped singing in a day. All they're doing is singing everywhere he goes. In the shuls they're singing, and in the streets they're singing. All they're doing is singing. Singing Shira is tefillah, but it's a tefillah with emotion. It's a tefillah with passion. It's a tefillah from the heart, straight from the heart. So Moshe was davening that tefillah. But the pasuk says, "Ve'eschanan el Hashem, I will daven Hashem." Be'esahi at that time, lemor saying. Now, usually throughout the Torah, we have this language of lemor, like Vayidaber Hashem, Moshe lemor. It's the introduction to say something else to others. Meaning Hashem said to Moshe, Lamor, that you should say this to Bnei Yisrael. Here, it's just Moshe davening to Hashem. That word Lamor is out of context. That word Lamor is strange. Moshe wasn't going to tell this over to Bnei Yisrael. Why is that word Lamor here? What is that word doing? Moshe davened to Hashem at that time. What do you mean Lamor? Saying. Obviously saying. He's not saying it to anyone else. So listen to Kedusha, the Halakha Kedushas Levi, the Barditchever. He says as follows. He says that every single one of us needs preparation for our tefillah. If we think about it, the Ikar tefillah that we daven in every tefillah is Shmon Esrei. Shmon Esrei is when we're literally talking to Hashem. We take our three steps back as if to say, I'm leaving this world, I'm entering three steps into the palace of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I talk to Hashem, but I prepare that by saying, Hashem Sefadai Tivdach Uvi Yagiti L'Secha. I don't just walk into my Shmon Esrei. I prepare it, I have Achana. I say, Hashem Sefadai Tivdach Uvi Yagiti L'Secha, which we'll get back to in a few moments. Hashem, open up my lips, and I should sing praise, I should daven properly. We ask Hashem to help me daven. I prepare it to daven. So the Kedushas Levi says, even Moshe Rabbeinu himself was asking Hashem and preparing to daven Hashem. And he says, V'eschanan el Hashem, he first davened Hashem, Be'esi Lamor. He first davened Hashem, saying, Lamor, I should be able to say tefillos. Daven, the first V'eschanan is Lamor, I should be able to daven to you. I should know how to daven. I should be able to daven properly, because it's the key to our success. If we could daven properly, if we could cry properly, we'll be mezakeh b'din, Hashem will answer our tefillos. But even Moshe was saying, he's asking Hashem to be able to daven. He's preparing in order to daven. That he was davening lemor to daven. He was davening to daven. That before we daven, we have to daven to daven. Hashem says, I'm davening in order to daven. Which is our preparation for davening. But what does that mean? What is our preparation for davening? Which is, what is, that's our mindset as we go into our davening. What are we davening for to be able to daven? So it's those words, Hashem Sefzai Tiftach V'yagid Tilzecho. And the word we use is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Right? That's the shame of Hashem. When we say, we could have said, Yud Kei Vav Kei Sefzai Tiftach. We could have said, Kel Sefzai Tiftach. Shakai Sefzai. It's a lot of names of Hashem. Elokim Sefzai Tiftach. But here we say Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That word of Adnos. This is a beautiful Torah from the Ritzinner Rebbe. The Ritzinner Rebbe of Gershon Chanuch. So he says something unbelievable. Adnus, the word Ado, right? That name of Hashem obviously represents Adon HaKol, the master of the universe. But there's another meaning. There's another word of Adon. Adonim. Maybe you're familiar, remember when you were learning Chumash and you read about the building of the Mishkan. So we know when building the Mishkan, the foundation of the Mishkan were Adonim. You know what Adonim are? Adonim are sockets. Adonim are sockets. You know what a socket is? A socket is really just a hole, an emptiness that's meant to be filled in to build the foundation of the Mishkan. The Adonim are the openings within the poles, within the wood, within, in order to fill in and link in and build the Mishkan. And the Adonim are really something that's just chaser, something that's just lacking, that's missing in order to be filled. So what does that mean when we say Hashem Sifsai Tiftach? What does it mean Hashem is the master of the world? He's Adon HaKol. Milashon also Adonim of lacking, of openness. It means that what makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our minds at this moment the master of all is that we understand and we believe that He has the power to fill in all that's lacking within us. That He's the Adon HaKol. He has the ability to fill it all in. That's why a father is also called in different places the Adon, the master of the house. That doesn't mean you should be bowing down to one's father in that way. We have to keep it of aim, surely. But it means that the father has a responsibility to know whatever's lacking in his home and fill it in and take care of it and make sure it's no longer, there's no longer a hole. To fill the void. And the Eibishter is Adon HaKol. And He's going to fill the void of each and every one of us. I was talking a while ago, a Talmud of mine called me up. He's married not that long, whatever it is. A young married man, he calls me up and he starts complaining to me about his wife. Starts complaining to me about his wife. And not about anything, like it wasn't, not any particular fight that they got into, or anything that she did terrible to him. He wasn't complaining about anything like that. He was complaining that he realized now, being married to his wife for a long time, in his eyes, again, he's not married that long, but in different chesronos, different lackings, which he didn't recognize and didn't know within his wife, when they were dating. Now, they dated for a while, this particular couple. It wasn't a short and quick, but he didn't realize certain things. Some of them, when talking them through, were very real. Some of them were very minute, and he should have not have been thinking about it at all. Whatever, it doesn't matter. The details don't matter right now. But he was complaining to me, and he was very upset about it. And not that he was thinking, chas v'sholom, that he wants to get divorced or anything like that. But he wanted to vent, and wanted to know how to handle it, and he was very upset about it. And before I got into any details with him, I said to him, in a nice, sweet way, in a sensitive way, but I said, what are you complaining about? You married your wife because you saw all the beautiful midos in her, which still are there. You saw how she treated you. You connected in a beautiful way, which you still do. So now you learned more about her and you see more chesronos. You know what that means? You stood underneath the chuppah with her, and you said to her underneath the chuppah, basically, at least b'machshava, I'm going to be by your side and take care of you no matter what. And you know what your job is as a husband? To be an adoin. Meaning what? So now you found some chesronos, something lacking in your wife. Which, by the way, you have plenty lacking also, and we all have lacking. So you know what your job is? Not to complain and be upset about it. Go help fill the void. Go help perfect her. You know, when couples get married, she'll be zoicha b'shatayva, those who are looking for shiduchim, in the parish of shiduchim, b'kar of mamish, to the most amazing shiduch in the world. But when you get married, you're looking to marry your mirror image? You're looking to marry your mirror image? Does anyone need to marry the mirror image? You already have yourself! Whatever, all the miles you have, and all that you have in your life, yes, you want to find someone that you have similarities to, of course, and you have similar goals and aspirations in life, but your mirror image, who needs their mirror image? You want someone that's going to compliment you, and you're going to compliment them. And you then can fill what's lacking within them, and they can fill what's lacking within you. And help you grow in a beautiful way. That's part of what marriage is all about. So what are we... He's complaining because he sees lacking in his wife? Chas v'shalom. Baruch Hashem. You love her, you married her, you care about her, you're her best friend. Now go help her. Just like she's helping you, and she is in this particular relationship greatly, trust me. So that's in a marriage. That's clearly as parents for children. But so too with the Eibishter. The Eibishter is both Avinu v'Shem b'Shamayim. The Eibishter is also, we're married to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We all know all the analogies between at Har Sinai of the marriage and the union with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Ribbono Shel Olam comes and he sees our lackings. And we have to, and we, walking into these days, recognize our lackings. Recognize where we need to fix. Recognize that I'm not perfect. I'm imperfect. And all of us are. Ein tzadik ba'aretz shelo yecheteh. But the first step in tefillah is Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adoin Tefasai Tiftach. And specifically, the Radziner Rebbe is saying, to recognize, I'm davening to Hashem because I recognize my flaws, I recognize my imperfections, but I also believe and know that Hashem can fill them. That Hashem could fix them. Hashem can help me out. I can have Siyata D'Shemaya. It's not up to me alone. And that's beautiful, and that's encouraging. Not to analyze myself and do introspection and get down because of my flaws. Now recognize my flaws and say, Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm throwing it at you. Because of all that's lacking, I'm going to even dive in harder. I'm going to connect to you because I know you're the only one that can help me. And then I'm going to dive in with different kavanas, realizing that tefillah could help that, and tefillah could work through that, because then the Ribbono Shel Olam will realize, if I come to the Ribbono Shel Olam, see this young woman who is opening up to her husband, what is she basically saying? I'm finally comfortable with you to open up that I'm lacking, that I have issues from my childhood that I never dealt with, whatever it might be. So now the husband's role is to go and help her, right? So when we go to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we finally are willing to open up and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm lacking, I have chesronos, I have holes in my life. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to take that on and say, but I'm here to fix them. I'm here to help you fix them. Let's go, together. Let's do it. And that's the ultimate tefillah. The Maral says in Nisiv Avodah, I'll read it to you. In Beis, Nisiv HaAvodah is found in Nisiv HaZoylam. Aval davar zeh ki hatzfilah, listen to the words, mamishwot, ki hatzfilah, tfilah hi lahashlim es ha'adam. The point of tfilah is to perfect a person, to complete a person. Mashu chaser, what's lacking. Va'az Hashem yisbarach, shomea tfilah sun bakashaso. Kadosh Baruch Hu will listen to our tefillos and our requests. When kasher adam uchaser v'tzarech ha'ashlama. When a person, first and foremost, is honest with themselves and recognize that's where I'm lacking. So what do I do about it? I dive into Hashem. Hashem then will feel the responsibility. Of course, I'm going to help you. Because nobody else will. That's the point in the relationship. And that's a point in a marriage, that's a point in a Rabbeinu Shalom's relationship. You know, there was a... I don't want to mention the name of it. This is back from my childhood, but it's stuck so strong with me. We're real here. We don't hide. There was a movie that was back in my high school days. And it was a movie... It was a big movie. It was a very successful movie. And obviously in the movie was like the whole... background of the movie was a love story between a man and a woman, whatever it was. And you know, like I guess probably like 95% of, I mean, I haven't seen a movie for a long time, but I'm sure still like 95% of movies are just like getting together and breaking up and getting together and breaking up, right? Like that's what every movie is. And so there's like, there was just a scene and this couple, they're together and they're broken up and then they're together, and then like there's one of these very emotional moments and they're like getting back together. I forget who said it to who, but it was such a line I'll never forget, and it's mamish the essence of a relationship, of the deepest of relationships. And one of them was walking away, and the other one screams out, "You complete me. You complete me." And that's it. That's the deepest of relationships. You complete me. And the Eibishter completes us. The Eibishter completes us. So, and that's what happens when we daven properly. It's lahashlim es adam, the Maral says. So my hachomer, my preparation is adnus of as I tivdach. And as the Redziner is saying, to recognize I have these deficiencies. That's how I prepare. And then reach out to Hashem with them. And realize Hashem can fill them in. And connect to Hashem with them. And want it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a famous Torah from Yisrael Salanter. We all know that by the Nachash, by the snake, he's cursed. How's the Nachash cursed? So one of the curses of Nachash, you read in Parshas Bereishis, is that it eats the dust of the land. And everybody asks, that's a curse? So it's slithering around. Everywhere it goes, it has its parnasa. Everywhere it goes, it's good to go. The Nachash, basically, God gave it everything it needs. It's the biggest bracha, klala. Halavai, Hashem should take care of my parnasa for life. I don't have to worry about putting any ishtadlus of parnasa. I don't have to worry about money. I don't have to worry about where my food's going to come from, where my cars are going to come from, how I'm going to pay tuition, how I'm going to pay my medical bills, whatever my... Halavai, wow, what a bracha. That's awesome. Halavai, I should have such a klala of the nachash, right? Halavai. How often have young couples and dating and figure it out, but one, and parents get all concerned, how are you going to get married? Because how are you going to be able to support each other? Where's the money? Where's the finances going to come from? What's going to be? Halavai, we don't have to worry about such a thing, right? Halavai, such a klala. So Rishol Solanter explained so beautifully. If I'm not mistaken, it's Rishol Solanter, that's how I remember it. Should have looked it up. I know where it's quoted in the Sefer Higyone Halacha, in the first volume of Higyone Halacha. Whoever knows about Higyone Halacha, Rav Mirsky. He has a few different volumes. Chalakim and Chalak Aleph, he has a piece. If you want to read a beautiful piece also, the truth is I didn't use much of this in this year, but it's on Tefillah. Tefillah Yimei El. In Egyoni Halacha Chalak Aleph. And at the end of that piece, he brings this down. The terrace he brought down, I think it was Rishol Solanter, says, you know what the klal of the Nachash was? Hashem was saying, here, take everything you need. So you're shalem. You're complete. You're not lacking in anything. And therefore you have no need to ever daven. You have no need to ever connect to me. Basically he's saying, I want nothing to do with you. Because the greatest way we get close to Hashem and have a relationship with Hashem is this relationship where we're lacking and we need Hashem to fill us in. And that's how we build this deep kesher shokayama with the Eibishter. Rav Nachum said to the Nachash, here, have it all. I don't need you in my life. Goodbye. I want no relationship with you. Enjoy. God forbid, should anyone want such a call, it's the worst call of all time. Rav Nachum, give me all the issues with Parnas and everything else to have a relationship with you, to be close to you. And that's our tefillas and tefillas during these days. Hashem sifasai tiftach. Adnus. Recognize my chisronos, my lacking, so that I can reach out to Hashem. And then I will open up my mouth. And our Rabbeinu Shalom will feel the chrayas. The Rabbeinu Shalom will give us. The Rabbeinu Shalom will fill us up. Will fill the hole. Build our Mishkan Ma'at. You know, it happens to be, these days, the reason why these days are days of tshuva, these 40 days, from Rosh Chodesh El until Yom HaKippurim, with Rosh Hashanah Abaleinu Toiva this Sunday night, is because these were days that were already set aside for days of tshuva after Chet HaEgel. After Chet HaEgel, that sin of Klal Yisrael that we're still suffering from until today, Moshe Rabbeinu went back up to Shemayim to daven for our Slicha Mechila Kapara on Rosh Chodesh El, and came back down and brought the second Luchos, which was Kapara, ultimate Kapara, on Yom HaKippurim. It's these 40 days are the days of Slicha Mechila Kapara and davening by Chet HaEgel. Many Mefarshim bring down what was the part of the kapara of Chet HaEgel was the Mishkan. That's when the Mishkan was given to us. That Hashem would reside amongst us. And what was the foundations of the Mishkan? As we just said before, the Adonim, the sockets that built the Mishkan. Meaning what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to us after us sinning and not doing what we're supposed to do. I want you to build a Mishkan which is founded upon these Adonim. Founded upon the recognition of the Chesronos of our life so that you have a relationship with me always. And we'll be connected always. We have to daven to daven. We have to prepare to daven. And think about our Chesronos, not to be depressed, but in order to daven to Hashem to fill them in. V'eschanon el Hashem, be'esahi le'mor. And that's why we add in slichos. What is slichos? Extra davening. Saying, I need to prepare to daven even more. I need to daven even more because I have to daven to daven. In fact, I saw a tremendous remez el davar. If you take the word le'mor, lamed aleph mem resh, so we know every, this is very deep, you could write this out and try it another time. If I had like a board or something, I'd show you. But every letter has what's nigla, we've spoken about this before, I'm sure the chevra already knows, has what's nigla, what's revealed in the letter and what's hidden in the letter, right? So aleph is like aleph, lamed, pei. The aleph is what's revealed and the lamed, pei is what's hidden. If you take the letter, the word le'mor, lamed, aleph, mem, resh, and not the word, not the, and you take away the letters that are revealed that we see, but we look just what's hidden within the word le'mor, you'll get gematria of all the letters hidden within le'mor. You're going to get gematria 514, which is exactly gematria slichos. Meaning what? The Kedushas Levi B'Tishuvah said what? That v'eschanon el Hashem b'esahi le'mor, that Moshe Rabbeinu was only davening to be able to daven, which we're explaining here tonight, means being able to recognize one's chesronos to reach out to Hashem who will fill it up. So what are we adding in during these days, specifically these special days of Tefillah? Slichos, which is exactly gematria, the depth within le'mor, which is the representation of this idea. That each and every one of us needs to daven. And daven for the depth of the greatness of that adness, of seeing that the Rabbeinu Shalom fills every single one of our holes in our lives. And recognize that Rabbeinu Shalom has that. That's the greatness of Hashem. You know, even though, and in that pasuk, Hashem says, I tiftach, it's adness. The truth is, it's amazing and it's interesting, that the name of Hashem of Rachamim, the name of Hashem of mercy, we know is Yudke Vavke. But how do we pronounce that name? We don't pronounce it as it's written. We're not allowed to pronounce it as it's written. We pronounce that also as Atnas. Meaning to recognize that the only way a Kadosh Baruch Hu of Rachamim on us, the mercy will come on us when we recognize our chesronos and reach out to Hashem to fill them. As a father will fill the chesronos of a child. Always. Maybe that's as well. The Arizal says, if you take the gematria, hold off on that for now. I just want to say one other idea. Just realize that, meaning, the MS is, the tshuva alone, without this concept, won't even work, always. You know, sometimes we could do tshuva and work on ourselves. But in the Shari Tshuva, he says, in the beginning of Shari Tshuva, Mem Beis, Ki yitakein lios ha'avon nislach v'nivda mikol yisur mikol gzeira. It's possible that Hashem will have atonement, tzlicha mechila kapara. But still, ve'ein l'shem chafetz bo. But Hashem still doesn't have a desire to have a relationship with us. We messed up and we've done wrong and we're so lacking that even tshuva alone, Hashem won't have a desire to have a relationship with us. But he goes on, I'm not going to read the whole piece right now, but he goes on and says, through tefillah, I could rebuild even the relationship. Through tefillah, I could always be with Hashem. And recognizing the greatness of Hashem and adness, of Him filling that void through our tefillah, through crying out to Hashem, to cry with our lackings during these days. So that's why the Arizal says, by the way, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, his tefillahs weren't ultimately answered. And we'll get back to that in a few moments. His tefillahs, he davened 515 tefillahs and the answer was no. And it's interesting that we focus on that so much. We'll explain that in a few moments. The Arizal says, if you take the gematria of the Rashi Tevos, Yiskadel v'Yiskadash Shemei Rabba, which means Yisgadal v'Yisgadash, we should make great and make holy Shemei Rabba, his great name. Which great name? Perhaps this great name, Adnas. And even those who say it's Yud Kei Vav Kei, we pronounce it as Adnas, right? We should focus on that and recognize that name which represents that recognition of our chesronos could be filled by the Rabbanei Shalom. If you take the Rashi Tevos, it's Yud Yisgadal, V Yisgadash Vav, Yud and Vav is 16, Shemei is Shin, so 316, Rabba is Reish, is 200, is 516. The Rashi Tevos of Yisgadal, Yisgadash Shemei Rabba is 516. One more than Veschano and El Hashem, than 515. What did Hashem say to Moshe when he was davening? Al Toisav Dov, don't say, go anymore, don't continue. If he would have continued, Hashem would have answered him. There's a lot of reason why he couldn't continue. But we see if he would have davened the 516th, he would have been answered. When Yisgadol v'Yisgadol Shmei Rabba, when we daven the extra tefillah, which is Rashi Tevos, Gematria 516, and we put in the recognition of the greatness of that name, Adnas, the recognition that Hashem can always fill our void, our tefillahs will be answered. And we'll be in a different place. Why was it, by the way, that we look at Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs as this paradigm, as this example, if his tefillahs weren't even answered? The Ishbitzer says, when we daven, so the gates, we hope, are open to listen to our tefillahs, but when our tefillahs are answered, the gates close. The gates of tefillah close. Moshe Rabbeinu davened and davened and davened, and the gates were open, all the tefillahs were going in. His tefillahs were never answered, which means those gates are still open. And we're using those gates of Moshe Rabbeinu, who started to open the gates of tefillahs through those tefillahs. That's what the Ishbitzer says. But it's a lamer dika tefillah. It's a tefillah for a tefillah. It's a tefillah with a recognition that I have so much that I need to be fixed, but I know the Eibishter can do it. And I know that each and every one of us in our lives, we look into our lives, and it's a complicated time, this time, Yom Noraim. On one hand, we're excited for Yontiv, and excited for the Sudas of Yontiv, and we're, let's be real, we still have, Baruch Hashem, that touch of innocence in us, and our childhood, and who's not excited to dip an apple in honey? There's something very special about that. Or dip the challah in honey, and have some pomegranates, and have all different types of crazy new fruits, and all the simanim. And there's still something special, similar to when we were a child in Shul and Rosh Hashanah, hearing the shofar blow, that first tekiah. Hopefully it's a lot deeper in our lives these days. So on one hand, we're excited, and it's beautiful and wonderful. We're going to go to shul dressed in nice clothing and be a part of all. We look forward to the beautiful nigunim, the beautiful songs that are sung on Yamim Narayim. On the other hand, for a lot of us, it's a difficult time. We start and we really do chesed nefesh, and we think about our lives. And again, we think about our lives spiritually and how much we need to be better, as we spoke about before. But we also think about so much in our life that I want to improve and I want to be different, and I'm yearning for the Ribbono Shel Olam for so much more simcha and so much fixing and so much that I hope this year will be, but I davened for this last year and it didn't change. But don't be discouraged. Those are the holes we're talking about that we need to be open about to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we need to realize the only one who can fill them is the Eibishter. And that's why I'm davening. And if I daven with that mindset and with those emotions, those are the tefillos that are going to be answered. That's when Chana's tefillos were answered. Chana's who we really learn who to daven from. If you look through the Gemara, how we daven our Shemoneh Esrei is learned really from Chana, whose tefillos were answered. When were her tefillos answered? When were Chana's tefillos answered? Only after, read through the Navi in Shmuel, right? We all know it. When Elkanah, her husband, came to her and basically says to her that he, you know, give up. And I'm as good as 10 children to you. And I'll take care of you, I'm over you. In other words, Elkanah was saying to her, I'm no longer davening for you anymore. Let's just be besimcha with Samech Bechelko. That's when she went and davened her heart out. Meaning why? Because until that point, she didn't fully entrust that this could only come from the Eibishter. She thought also her husband could help her through his tefillahs. So she wasn't fully lacking. She had her husband as well by her side. She wasn't fully lacking in this area. It was for the first time in her life that she realized, I'm completely chaser. I'm completely a whole. And the only one that could help me is the Eibishter. And that's the way she davened. And that's when her tefillahs were answered. And that's when our tefillahs can be answered. And that's the depth of what our tefillahs should be this Rosh Hashanah. Read once a story from Rav Pinkus. There was a couple, and the couple was married for many, many years, unable to have children, sadly. Some of the most difficult of the Yisurin for one to go through, to be married many years without children, lo aleinu, none of us should ever know from it. And they married already close to 10 years, and they went for brachas to every tzaddik you could imagine, and for tefillahs. And the husband finally went to Rav Shimshon Pinkus. And Rav Pinkus told him, it was the middle of the day, said, I want you to come back late tonight. Husband thought it was very strange. He comes to Rav Pinkus late at night. Rav Pinkus says, come in the car, we're going to drive somewhere. And Rav Pinkus drives this yid to a forest. And says, I'm not giving you, I can't give you a bracha, I don't have the koyach. And I can't daven. You go daven to the Rabbi Nishalm for a child. And I'll come back to get you soon. Rav Pinkus leaves him by the forest, it's late at night, and drives off. But a half hour later, he comes back, he finds the man, he sees the man, and right away he sees him, he doesn't see anything broken, he doesn't, in his meaning, emotionally, no tears were on his face. Immediately he says to the man, no, that's not what I meant. I meant you have to really daven. I mean, you have to daven recognizing there's no one else in the world that can help you but the Rabbi Nishalom. You have to daven that you're chaser, and the Rabbi Nishalom is going to fill that void. I'll be back again. Half hour later, he comes back. He sees tears streaming down the man's cheek. His shirt is soaked with tears. He says, okay, come in the car now. Everything's going to be good. You'll see. You'll be zoichet, refuz, yeshuas. Everything will be good. Less than a year later, he had a baby boy. These are very powerful days and very special days. And the Rabbi Nishal Olam is deciding now, over these days, what our year is going to be. And sometimes we get stuck in the moment and think like, let's be real, it's just going to be the same. Like last year was the same as the year before. You know, in a name you can see the essence of something. It's something we've spoken about much at this table. And the name of a yontav, not just the name of a person, could tell us about the yontav. So what's Rosh Hashanah tell us about Rosh Hashanah? Beginning of the year, shkoyach, that's just when it is. Thank you. Thank you for telling me it's Rosh Hashanah. Like, what else is it? I know it's Rosh Hashanah. I don't need the name to be called Rosh Hashanah. There has to be something deeper in the name. Shana could mean year. But Shana can also mean shinoi. Miloshin shinoi, change. It's not just the beginning of a year. It's the beginning of change. The change within ourselves, and change in our mazel and bracha and yeshua and rafu and geula from the Eibishter. Last year has nothing to do with this upcoming year. The past is in the past. And everything can change. So each and every one of us during these days, we should just be honest and be real. And open up and understand, yes, I'm lacking. I'm lacking in my ruchnius and what I should be. I'm lacking in certain areas of my life that I want. But not to be discouraged in that. To use that to then dive into the Rabbi Nishalom. And say, Eibishter, I know and understand. The only one who can help me here is you. Let's be that team. Be my Adon. Fill in my void. Fill in my holes. Be the Adoy Nakol. And we prepare in this way for our tefillahs, and we dive in such a way. And we have this in mind. Everyone should have this in mind. And every time we're going to dive in Shema Rosh Hashanah, we're going to start out with those words, Hashem Sevzai Tiftach. And now we know what we could be thinking about, how we could prepare for those tefillahs. Then Amir Hashem, all our tefillahs of Mekayim and Mekabel, in each and every one of us, in each and every one of you, V'prat u'bechlal, each and every one of you individually, each and every one of you, in your mishpachos, should be zoyche to ksiv chsim atayva, a good gebench yar, a year of simcha, a year of bracha, a year of geula, a year of yeshua, a year where you have kirvas elokim, you feel close to Hashem every single moment, and a year where you see Hashem by your side every moment. And therefore, we should only have simcha and bracha, and we should have a heilig Shabbos kodesh, and a heilig yantav, and shana tayva mesukah.